Do you ever feel like life is unfair? Does it seem sometimes that bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people? Do you ever wonder, is there ever going to be true justice? And I believe the disciples of Jesus were feeling that very way when Jesus shared this parable. They were seeing a lot of bad things happening around them. They were seeing the church of that time rejecting Jesus' message and persecuting him and other people whose hearts were hardened. There was frustration building in. And Jesus shares a parable to a large group, but later he's going to explain it just to his disciples. And these are called kingdom parables. And the series is called Thy Kingdom Come. And I think it's very important for we as Christians to realize that the kingdom of heaven is not just going to heaven one day. The kingdom of heaven is even right now. If we have faith in Jesus Christ, we're part of that kingdom. And what does that kingdom look like? And how are we to act as we live our days in his kingdom? And that's what these parables help us to see with greater clarity. And with parables, there's always a main point. And I'm going to get that point a little bit later. And also in the parables that Jesus shared, he used parables and imagery that really resonated with the people of that time. And the people of that time were typically, they were agricultural, they had flocks and they had sheep, they had plants. And so he uses imagery that they could truly relate to. And the parable for today is agrarian. In fact, I want to lay out this parable to you, and I want to encourage you to really focus in on what this parable means, because there's a lot of things we can really take into our lives. And even if you're a seeker and trying to find out more about Christianity, there's a lot to learn from this particular parable from Jesus, and some very challenging things as well. I want to share with you the first part of this parable, and it comes from Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 through 30. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, when the weeds appeared also, and the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root out the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" I first want to take a look at this from a surface point of view. So a farmer goes out to sow his wheat. He sows a seed that's going to turn into the wheat. This is his livelihood. And that evening, while he's sleeping, his servants are sleeping, an enemy comes and puts seed of weeds amongst the seed of the wheat. This is a terrible thing for someone to do. A very evil thing. It did happen back in that day and age. And the penalty for this happening could be very severe. Even the Roman Empire, there was severe punishment for those who would do such an evil thing as putting weeds with someone's wheat. So time goes by, and the wheat begins to grow, and so do the weeds. And there was a certain type of weed called darnel. And darnel very much looked like wheat. You could not tell the difference as they're growing at first. And so some time goes by, but eventually the trained eyes of his servants begin to realize that there's weeds amongst the wheat. And they go to the master, the main farmer, and they say, "Didn't you sow good seed in the field?" He said, "Yes." He says, "Obviously, an enemy has come and sown weeds in the field." And the servants say, "Well, then why don't we go and pull those weeds out?" And the master says, "No, because in so doing, you might damage the wheat. Let them both grow together. And at the harvest, you cut it all down. At that point, separate the weeds from the wheat and put the weeds in one bundle to be burned, but the wheat is to go into my barn. Now, what is the meaning of this? He says this parable to a large group of people, but some time goes by, and then Jesus is with his disciples, and they are curious about this parable, which leads into the next section from verses 36 to 43 of chapter 13 of Matthew. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." So Jesus lays out to his disciples the meaning of this parable as well to us. The one who sows the seed is Jesus himself, the Son of Man. The seed ultimately is the Word of God, and that seed comes alive in certain people. So those who believe, those who have received the seed of God's Word in their life and believe in Jesus, they're the ones who are the sons and daughters of the kingdom. The field is the world. The enemy, or the evil one, is Satan, who sows the seed of the weeds. And those who have rejected Jesus are those who are the sons and the daughters of the evil one. And what's going to happen is that in the end, there's going to be a judgment day. And the angels are going to be the ones to separate the weeds from the wheat. And there will be a final judgment. There will be a day, one day of justice. And so with every parable, there's always a main point, and the main point in this parable is this. There's going to be a day of judgment, and we are not the judge. And with that, I want to lay out some subpoints for us to take into our lives, for us to live out. And the first point is this, in this parable, there is an attack against the Christian church going on. Satan and his forces of evil are attacking the Christian church. And the book of Revelation talks about the unholy Trinity. There's Satan, and there are two beasts in Revelation. One beast is symbolic of political forces that are opposed to Christianity. The other beast is false religions and philosophies that are opposed to Christianity. Satan works in concert with these forces to attack the Christian church. And we've seen it for centuries. Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world. We see it around the world, but it's becoming even more commonplace in our own country today. There is more and more, I guess you could say, momentum being built up in our society against Christianity, a negative momentum, which is really disheartening. And I've seen this over my 30-plus years of ministry. It's ramping up more and more. It's a demonic attack. Satan does not want people to believe in Jesus. He's powerful, but he's not as powerful as Jesus himself. And I believe he likes to work in very subtle ways in our society around us. You know, I've talked with people that have been missionaries in Africa and other parts of the world where they've come across a lot of exorcism, demon possession, things like that, because in certain parts of the world, the strongest spiritual force wins. In our country, the way that we are, if we saw overt activity of Satan like that and demons, it only proves existence. He wants people in our society to believe he doesn't exist at all. And so he wants to work subtly. But he's still very powerful. I mean, one time I had the experience of witnessing an exorcism. And I was asked to be there as an observer. And the gal that had the demon inside of her, demons, she couldn't have been 100 pounds, maybe 5 feet tall. But when these forces came active inside of her, the sounds that came out of her, the contortion of her body, there was a force inside of her which was way more powerful than she was. And I could just feel it in the room. At one point, it took a number of people to hold her down. At one point, she picked up a pen and she flung it across the room, and it actually went right past me and stuck into the drywall on the wall behind me. There's a lot of powerful force inside of her. And I realize the force of evil is powerful. At the same time, what I witnessed and what I realized, the force of God is way more powerful than the force of Satan. But there is a spiritual attack on the Christian church. We have to be aware of that. But to remember that we are victorious, even in the face of that, as long as our trust is in Jesus. The second thing is this. Weeds and wheat oftentimes look the same. In fact, as you go through life, sometimes it's hard to tell who's Christian, who's not Christian. Sometimes there's unbelievers that are very good people. And sometimes there's Christians who are very bad people. But in the end, salvation is not determined by good or bad, because we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. We're saved by grace through Jesus Christ. In the end, what matters, does a person believe in Jesus or not? But here's a challenge for we as Christians. I think a lot of Christians are very secular and very worldly. We're called upon to be shaped into the image of God. If we are wheat, as we grow to maturity, at that point it's easy to tell the difference between the wheat and the darnel, between the wheat and the weeds. And so as we grow in our faith, we are more set apart from the ways of the world. Our priorities are different than the ways of the world. But so often it seems that believers and unbelievers seem very similar in how they appear in this world. The third thing is this. It's not our place to judge others. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking at the world right now. I'm just feeling judgment all around. It's just hard to really wrap my brain around what some of the things I'm experiencing, seeing in this world around me. I'm sure the same is true for you as well. And some of the behavior of certain groups of people, how they're acting. But the bottom line is this. Nobody's perfect. All have sinned. It's not our place to judge people. We are called upon, we're given one option by God Himself. The summary of all the law, to love our neighbors, ourselves, and to love God. And who's our neighbor? All people. We don't have to love the things that people are doing. But we are to love them and to listen and to try to understand. Don't have to agree with it. But to realize that for a lot of people in the world today, they're looking for the answers. They're looking for truth. We have the truth. We can't get frustrated and discouraged in the midst of all the terrible things that might be happening around us. We are victorious through Jesus Christ. We're called upon to share His word, not to judge. We're called upon to love and to forgive. You know, it's amazing how people can find one bad thing about somebody and all they do is talk about that one bad thing. You can find something bad about everybody. There's only been one perfect person to walk on this planet. His name is Jesus Christ. And He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. He rose again. Through faith in Him, we are forgiven. And all the bad is gone, and all God sees is the good. And from that, we should learn that to forgive people, we also need to look for the good in people and not focus so much on the bad, on the evil, to look for the good. We are not to be judges. And the fourth thing is this. There will be a judgment day. We don't know when. There's two parts to it as far as I'm concerned. The first part is we take our last breath. At that point, do we have faith in Jesus or not? Because that makes all the difference in the world in eternity. But then there will eventually be a day when Jesus returns. And when He returns, the first thing that's going to happen is that the souls of those who have died in faith will be reunited with their bodies, will be raised and formed into perfect heavenly bodies. And they will go into heaven forever. And then for those who believe on earth who are still alive, their bodies are formed into perfect heavenly bodies. And I can't wait to see what that body's going to look like. Maybe eventually that six-pack stomach I've always wanted is going to be there. I'm sure it's going to be way beyond that. We're going to have perfect heavenly bodies, and then we go to heaven. Who's left behind? Those that don't believe. There's a heaven, and there is a hell. And hell is separation from God. And God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He wants for all people to be saved. That's why he's being so patient. The servants of the master, they came to him and said, let's tear out the weeds. But yet the master, Jesus, says, no, let them experience their full life. Give them every opportunity to come to know what the truth is in me. Give them every opportunity. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, and 2 Peter 3, 9, two beautiful sections of Scripture talk about how God wants everybody to be saved, for all people to repent and turn to Him. He's not a micromanaging God. He doesn't force us to believe in Him. He wants us to. He wants all to believe in Him and be with Him forever. And that leads to that last point, that God is a judge, not us. His ways are not maybe our ways, but His ways are right. We don't maybe understand His ways. And sometimes we stray from His ways, but His ways are always right. And there's a lot of mystery and some things that are hard to understand. I've got to be honest with you. The concept of hell scares the hell right out of me. I don't want anybody to have to experience even a second in hell. And so what is our response to these things? Again, the main point here is that there's going to be a judgment day and we're not the judge. Then what are we? We're meant to be people to turn weeds into wheat by the power of God's word. You see, when those kernels of wheat grow and the plant becomes mature, the seed begins to spill out. A mature plant spreads seed. And as we grow, we share the seed of God's word more and more. You see, people can still turn from weeds to wheat. They just need to receive the true wheat of God's word, the seed of God's word. And we have that. And that should be our response. You know, to carry out the mission that Jesus has for us. And here at St. Mark, our mission is to connect people to Jesus, to build people up in the faith, and to live out the Word of God. That mission remains the same. It never changes. To lead people into the kingdom of God and to realize that right now we're members of that kingdom, that through faith in Jesus Christ, our future is secure. We know where we're going. Let's help others to find that way. Even in these challenging times. And my prayer is that every person on this planet will come to know the amazing love of Jesus Christ. But God has placed that commission, that opportunity on us to share that truth. Is there going to be a day of justice? Yes. And I pray that on that day, not only each one of us has faith in Christ and are living in that forgiveness, but that somehow every person on this planet can come to know that truth as well. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your amazing love for us. Thank you for the faith you put into our hearts and our lives. Sometimes life may seem unfair. And sometimes it seems like good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. And a lot is a mystery to us. But the future is clear because of you. And we are not the judge. You are the ultimate judge. Help us to be about our mission to love, to forgive, to live out your word, to share your word. That you'll use us, empowered by your spirit, to lead as many people as possible to know of your saving faith, to turn the weeds into wheat. We praise in Jesus' name. Amen.